Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Did you ever have an imaginary friend? You know, that secret confidant, maybe a superhero companion, that invisible playmate only you could see?
Oh yeah, I think a lot of us did, or know someone who did.
Right, and many of us look back on them fondly maybe, but often just dismiss them as, you know, childish, whimsy, cute little fictions.
Yeah. Harmless.
Exactly. But what if these imaginary companions, and maybe even the inner voices we carry as adults, are actually, well, profound guides, revealing deep truths about our capacity for love and even resilience?
That's a really intriguing idea.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Today we're diving into a fascinating piece titled Imaginary Friends and Real Truths. It's from the Church of Tinkerbell's blog, and it explores exactly this idea.
Sounds interesting.
Our mission today is really to uncover how these seemingly fantastical elements might be profoundly real in their effects, how they shape our emotions, our choices, our lives, and maybe what aha moments you can take away from remembering them or recognizing them now.
Yeah, and what's fascinating right off the bat is how the article challenges our common assumptions. It suggests these companions exist in this sort of liminal space between reality and dream.
A liminal space. What does that really mean in this context?
Well, it suggests they're far more than just passing thoughts or simple make-believe. It kind of sets the stage for a deeper understanding of maybe the human spirit and how our minds work, especially under development or stress. It's not just kids' stuff.
Right. It's asking us to look beyond just the tangible.
Exactly. It's about the power they hold, regardless of whether you can, you know, touch them.
Okay, so let's start with those childhood figures. You know, the teddy bear that suddenly has a voice, or the superhero who swoops in when you're feeling lonely. Maybe that constant playmate only you can see.
Very vivid images. We can all picture that.
But the article points out how adults often just smile and nod, thinking, oh, that's cute, harmless fiction. But it really pushes back, asking, what if they're actually vital for development?
And that's a strong claim, like you said. It goes against that sort of just grow out of it mentality.
So why do you think we tend to dismiss them so easily? Is it just our adult focus on the quote-unquote real world?
I think that's a big part of it. Mm. We value the concrete, the measurable. But a child's reality is different. That line between internal and external is, well, it's blurrier, more fluid.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting for me. The article calls these imaginary friends rehearsal halls for the heart.
That's a fantastic phrase.
Isn't it? Rehearsal halls for the heart. I mean, can you imagine learning to love, forgive, be loyal through pretend? How does that work?
Well, think about it. The article explains how kids actually practice kindness, loyalty, and forgiveness with these companions. Maybe the imaginary friend gets mad, and the child has to figure out how to make amends.
Ah, okay, so it's like a safe simulation.
Precisely. Or maybe the friend falls down. The child comforts them, practicing empathy. They're learning how to comfort themselves, too, by projecting it onto the friend first.
That makes sense. Learning self-soothing by soothing someone else, even if they're imagined.
Right. And they discover vulnerability can be safe. They can share secrets with this invisible friend, things they might be too scared to tell anyone real. It's testing the waters of trust.
Wow. So they're building these core emotional skills, like brick by brick in their imagination.
Exactly. It connects directly to that bigger picture the article paints. It suggests the imagination is where the first seeds of love are watered and grow.
Huh. So these pretend interactions aren't just fluff. Their practice.
Serious practice.
Yeah.
They're cultivating these essential qualities. Kindness, forgiveness, loyalty internally. Getting the hang of them before they have to deploy them in complex real-world relationships. It's truly foundational.
Foundational for relating to others, but also maybe for relating to ourselves.
Absolutely. For self-care, self-compassion later on. Yeah. It all starts somewhere.
Okay, but it's not just kids who do this, right? The article makes a pretty compelling case that we adults, well, we carry inner companions too. Even if they're not, you know, dragons having tea with us.
No, definitely not dragons, usually. But the mechanism, that capacity, it doesn't just vanish. It evolves.
So how do they show up for adults?
Well, they often appear as those inner voices we all have. You know, sometimes it's like a wise mentor guiding you through doubt.
Or maybe that really stern critic who's always demanding perfection.
Yeah, that one too.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, thankfully, a cheerleader whispering, "You got this," when things get tough.
And the article says these voices are just as invented as childhood companions, but no less real in their effects. That's striking.
It is, because their impact on our choices, our confidence, sometimes how stuck we feel. It's undeniable. They feel real because their consequences are real.
So how do these adult inner voices actually help us? I mean, apart from the critic maybe holding us back sometimes.
Well, the article suggests we use them strategically, even if unconsciously. We use them to stay steady in storms, maybe to imagine new possibilities, or even test our courage internally before acting.
Like running a scenario in your head, consulting your inner board of directors.
Kind of, yeah. You might mentally talk through a problem with that inner mentor figure, or draw strength from that inner cheerleader. They're internal tools for processing, strategizing, motivating.
So it's really a continuation of that childhood practice, just internalized, more sophisticated maybe?
Exactly. We're still using imagination to navigate, just managing our inner landscape now, not just the playroom floor.
And this brings us to resilience, doesn't it? Because navigating life, especially the hard parts, requires resilience.
Mm-hmm. And the article links these companions directly to it.
Yeah, it says resilience isn't just about, you know, gritting your teeth and enduring hardship. It's about finding ways to hold ourselves together while we endure it.
That's a crucial distinction. It's not just passive endurance.
So how do the imaginary friends or these inner voices act as those tools of resilience? How do they help us hold it together?
They give us dialogue when silence might feel crushing. They can remind us of playfulness or hope when everything feels heavy and dark. They essentially provide an internal relationship, a connection that buffers against isolation.
So they keep that inner narrative going, preventing us from feeling completely alone or lost in the difficulty.
Precisely. And the article even mentions something really powerful here about trauma survivors.
Right, I saw that.
Many describe the presence of some kind of inner figure, maybe a protector, maybe a nurturer, someone who helped them get through it. It shows how imagination can become this vital sanctuary.
Wow. So these figures can literally be guardians of survival in extreme situations.
It seems so. It really highlights that this capacity to create internal companions isn't just like a cute quirk. It can be a fundamental mechanism for coping, for thriving, even for surviving.
It suggests our creativity isn't just for art or invention, but it's deeply tied into our ability to endure.
Yeah, it's an active part of our survival toolkit.
Right.
Our inner world actively helps us face the outer world.
So, okay, let's pull this together. What does this all mean about what's real? The article really challenges that definition.
It does. It asks, if real just means physically measurable, maybe these companions don't qualify in that narrow sense. But if real means having the power to shape our emotions, our choices, and our lives, then, well, how could they be anything but real?
Their impact makes them real.
Exactly. And the truths they point to are profoundly real. That we're capable of love, that connection sustains us, that resilience is deeply interwoven with our own creativity. These are core human truths.
Truths worth paying attention to, worth honoring. And it ends with this lovely invitation, doesn't it? To remember.
Yeah, to reflect. What did your imaginary friend, if you had one, teach you? About kindness, courage, just simple joy.
And even if you didn't have one.
Right, even then, the article suggests that the voices you carry today, the kind ones, the harsh ones, the encouraging ones, the doubtful ones, they function as imagined companions too.
So it encourages us to look at those voices.
And to ask, what might change if you shape those voices with intention? What if you consciously chose to have them speak with compassion, not condemnation?
That's a powerful question about self-authorship, isn't it? About taking an active role in our own inner world. Not just being subject to those voices, but maybe directing them.
Exactly. Moving from just listening to actively curating that inner conversation. Choosing who gets the microphone, so to speak.
Wow. Okay. What an incredible deep dive this has been. Looking at the profound impact of our imagination, right from those childhood playmates through to our adult inner dialogues.
It really reframes them, doesn't it? They're not just whimsy.
Not at all. They're powerful shapers of who we are, our capacity for love, for connection, and crucially for resilience. It definitely makes you think differently about your own mental chatter. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the article leaves us with this really beautiful, empowering thought. It says that love and resilience are not given to us by the world. They are created within us, nurtured by imagination, and carried into every real relationship we will ever have.
That's quite a takeaway. Created within us.
It really is. So maybe the next time you hear that inner voice, or you happen to think back to a childhood imaginary friend, just pause. Consider the incredible power of your own mind to shape your most fundamental truths. And maybe ask yourself, what will you choose to create within yourself today?
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.